Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, September 18th. And Scott Hastings, a world champion and one of the bad boys, joins us this week. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Today we're going to be talking about the start of training camp, which is coming up. We've got media day coming up. The dates are out there now, so it is almost time. Also going to discuss the first half of the NBA rank list from ESPN, what I thought was a better 100 through 51 than the Sports Illustrated list that came out last week. I have some thoughts on that. And then Scott Hastings, Pistons world champion in 1990, talks to us about what it was like to join the Bad Boys, replacing Rick Mahorn. Just some great inside stories about the team. Really excited to share this interview with you guys. And also part two, which will be tomorrow. And thanks to Scott for taking the time. I had been chasing this interview pretty much all summer, and we're glad that we were able to finally connect late on Monday night. But like I said, the training camp schedule was released by the team on Monday, the Pistons. And how do you guys feel? Are you excited? I was excited to see the dates pop up into my inbox. So this Monday coming up is media day at Little Caesars Arena. I probably won't go, as I believe I'll be in Allen Park for the aftermath of whatever ugly and vile things that the Patriots do to the Lions on Sunday night, but media day will happen with or without me anyways. But then the day after that, training camp will start, with the first week coming in Ann Arbor on the campus of the University of Michigan at the Bill Davidson Performance Center, which is the training facility for the Michigan basketball team connected to the Chrysler Center there in Ann Arbor. The day after media day, like I said, that will be Tuesday through Saturday. The Pistons will be playing the first week of training camp there in Ann Arbor, two-a-days on Tuesday and Thursday, and just a single session the other days before the more normal training camp schedule takes place for a few days, presumably at the Pistons practice facility. And then the following week, headed to Oklahoma City for the preseason opener on October 3rd. It is here, folks. It is here right now. And like I said, if I don't get to media day, I'll head out to Ann Arbor a little bit during training camp to cover some of that camp. And I'd like to hear from you guys about what players do you want to hear from here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And if you were in my position, having the chance to talk to some of the Pistons coming into the season, what would you ask some of the players? I'll try to pick some of the questions that you guys have asked me and passed along through social media channels, whether that be on Twitter at @Matt_SCHOCH, another underscore after that, or through the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, or through Locked On Pistons-MattShook, or even better, you do me a favor and you can call and leave a voice message or text the number that we can use your questions for training camp interviews, 810-666-1546. Again, 810-666-VINNIE-JOHNSON, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills, 810-666-1546. So let me know. My first thought was that I would try to get a quick interview with Glenn Robinson, the new guy, especially on his campus in Ann Arbor. But let me know what you guys think about some interviews that we could be chasing during training camp, which is rapidly approaching. But speaking of things that are rapidly approaching, the 100 through 51 list on the NBA rank on ESPN, with the rapidly approaching top half of the players in the top 100 of the NBA. No Pistons in the 100 through 51 rankings. No Reggie Jackson in particular. He was 97 on the Sports Illustrated list, but did not crack the ESPN list, unless he's the very unlikely scenario where he is in the top 50. I don't believe that that's a possibility really for Reggie Jackson. Overall, I like the ESPN list quite a bit more, and I don't really have a problem with Reggie Jackson being left off the list. He has had some good moments for the Pistons and really a really very good season a couple seasons back, but by and large, the injuries have been too much, and the inconsistent play at times, even when he is having good seasons or a little bit of health, he hasn't been able to put together a consistent run of play other than that 2016 season where he was very good for the Pistons. I do like Danny Green at 97 on the ESPN list. I still see value there. He wasn't talked about really at all. He was kind of poo-pooed by the national media and basketball fans as part of the Kawhi Leonard deal to the Toronto Raptors this offseason, but I think that Danny Green will be a factor in Toronto. I thought that the Markel Fultz pick at 93 by ESPN was garbage. I'd like to see him show me something. The guy couldn't even get on the court when it mattered last year. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Pistons fans know very well. He was 92 on the list for ESPN. I didn't love that. I know he shot the ball well from three-point land last year, but I still think that's a little bit high for KCP. Tim Hardaway Jr. at 81, a Michigan guy. I think that's too high. That's probably the most laughable one on the list so far from ESPN. I did enjoy the disrespect to DeAndre Jordan, now of the Dallas Mavericks, at number 80. Good stuff there. I am not a fan. If you listen to this podcast, you know I'm not a DeAndre Jordan guy. He was 43 on the Sports Illustrated list, but 80 in the ESPN list. I think the ESPN list got that one more correct. But some solid players that were solidly ranked as well. Tobias Harris at 60, I believe, is fair. Yeah, so which basically means he's the worst second best player on your team in the league. If you say that the top 30 players would be the best player on their teams and the next 30 players would be the second best players on their teams, I think that kind of makes a lot of sense in terms of tiers and where to put Tobias Harris. If you are number 60 and you are the second best player on an NBA team and you are Tobias Harris, and then your team might be in trouble. And that's where the Pistons were at last year. And the talent level wasn't at a high enough clip. Now I know that to get Blake Griffin, to get your best or second best player, however you qualify Blake Griffin in terms of the Pistons roster, yeah, you had to give up a little bit of the depth, the draft pick, obviously, that ended up going to the Clippers, and then the Avery Bradleys of the world as well, in addition to Tobias Harris. The overall talent level probably fell for the Pistons, but the marquee talent a little bit better. He is the highest ranked Clipper, though, a little bit higher than Lou Williams on this list. So I don't think that Tobias Harris and Lou Williams will be making the playoffs this year in the Western Conference. I did like ESPN putting Paul Millsap of the Denver Nuggets at 59. I thought that was a lot more accurate than 37, which is where he was in the Sports Illustrated article. I thought that was a nice correction there. But we'll see where the ESPN rankings put Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond probably tomorrow as they come out with the next installment. It'll be interesting to check out, first of all, which of the two Pistons they rank higher compared to each other and the differences between the ESPN list and the SI list as it pertains to the two Piston big men. They had in Sports Illustrated Andre Drummond at 46 and Blake Griffin at 42. Actually, I'm sorry, it was 41 for Blake Griffin. I had Blake Griffin at 42 in my list, but he was actually 41, one spot higher than I had him with the SI list. But fantasy football is underway, and we have two great fantasy football shows to help you. The Lockdown Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, I know you're going to need those today, and injury news as well. Also, the Lockdown Fantasy Football is now Lockdown Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every day. Monday, we got Tom Kucinich, Tuesday, Eric Edholm, and Wednesday's Jeff Ratliff and Tyler Lechner. So some really good stuff there. But speaking of really good stuff, up next we got Scott Hastings, now a Denver radio dude and a former reserve for the Bad Boys World Champion for the Detroit Pistons. But you've heard me talk about advertising, and guess what? We're going to be actively looking for more advertising partners now that I'm back in Detroit. If your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 to 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have ties to Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, you should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% men and 80% of those between the ages of 18 to 44, all sorts of daily dedicated listeners. So if you're interested in reaching that group, email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. But do you have a man cave that needs sprucing up? Or do you want to get out and play a round of golf but don't have 5 hours to play 18? Or you're looking for more gear to rep Detroit? I know many of you listening can say yes to at least one of these questions, probably all three. And I got the answer for you. Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles in Clawson have you covered on all of these fronts. Detroit Sports Collectibles also has all the collectibles for your man cave. We got Pistons posters. Do you remember that poster of Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn in the black with the dark shades with the rim torn down? They've got that. If I don't get it first, by the way. They've got NASCAR stuff, baseball stuff, basketball, the Free Press posters from the championships, including Not Bad Boys with Isaiah Thomas on the cover, football figurines of your favorite players, all sorts of hats. You just got to see this place with your own eyes. It's one of those throwback collectible stores that we all love from our childhood. Jim and Ann are there on weekends, Friday from 10 to 3, also Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5 p.m., but you can also make an appointment, and they will meet you up there anytime throughout the week after 5 p.m., Monday through Thursday. They will be there for you. Just give them a call at 844-238-6277, and even better, tell them you heard about their store on Locked On Pistons, and they will give you 10% off your first order. The Made in Detroit shirts, the memorabilia, they've got everything. They are at 661- South Main Street in Clawson. Plus, you can order items at DetroitCollectibles.net. Check out the website. I will promise you that you will find something that you did not know that you need. Support Jim and Ann at Detroit Sports Collectibles in Clawson. Support Michigan small businesses, and in turn, support me and our venture here at the Locked On Pistons podcast. Check out Detroit Sports Collectibles, 661 South Main Street, just south of 14 Mile in Clawson, and also at DetroitCollectibles.net. Give them a call, set up that appointment, or go see them on the weekends. Call them at 844-238-6277. Again, 844-238-6277.
Yes, sir!
All right, now we're pleased to be joined by 11-year NBA veteran and a one-time NBA champion with the Detroit Pistons, Scott Hastings from Denver. How's it going, Scott?
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. I got to tell you something real fast, Matt. I don't think I've told anybody this ever. I was nearly two times NBA champ.
How's that?
Pistons, actually, I was told... I was with the Miami Heat for the expansion team. Actually, tried to trade for me right for trade deadline on their first. It would have been their first championship year, and well, then they probably would have put me up for expansion again that year. But anyway, and Pat Cummings, who was playing center for us, broke his foot basically a day and a half or the day before or the next day, and they went from okay, Scott, we're not going to play you much to. Oh, you get to play again because a guy broke his leg, and so I got off the table.
A little bit more playing time, but a little less in your jewelry box because of that.
I could have maybe gotten two of those suckers.
And Scott, now you're on the radio out in Denver at 92.5 FM Altitude Sports Radio, and you can listen from anywhere Altitude on the website as well from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time for the Pistons fans listening here if you want to check Scott Hastings on the radio. But as we were talking off mic, you're nursing another injury from maybe some glory days, trying to recapture some of the strength from your younger days anyway?
Yeah, you know, a good friend of mine, buddy of mine, is adding a garage to his house. He had the shed he wanted to save. And so, man, I mean, I feel like Tim the Tool Time Taylor, right? We're saws on the bolts off the cement pad it was sitting on. We're securing it with 2x6s and 2x4s so it doesn't get flimsy. And we're going to slide this thing off the pad onto these rollers and then move it out of the way so that they can destroy everything around it and he can still save his shed. And we moved it about 2 inches, 3 inches. We need about 2 or 3 more inches. And my buddy goes, you know, I'm going to go get a jack. Maybe if we could jack it up to get over the edge, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, come on. This thing probably goes about 600 or 700 pounds. I just said, if I could just lift up and push at the same time, one quick jolt, maybe I can set this thing free. All I did was set my one part of my Achilles tendon free from the other part of my Achilles tendon. So, yeah, I guess I had too much testosterone in my old age. Achilles tendon free from the other part of my Achilles tendon. So, yeah, I guess I had too much testosterone in my old age or something.
And the same injury that took down Isaiah Thomas a few years after the Bad Boys is the same one that puts Scott Hastings into bed about 30 years later out in Denver. But Scott, you joined the defense. You mentioned that you came in between the two championships and won the second title with the Bad Boys, the second of two there. What's it like going into, and you weren't a rookie or anything at that time, what was it like going into that locker room? Do you remember those first days? I mean, just famous for the big personalities.
Yeah.
What was that like in those first few days?
Well, Matt, honest to gosh, I 30 years later, whatever it is, 25, whatever the, you know, I'm not trying to do math right now, but I tell everybody this, until you play on a championship team and until you play on a franchise or for a franchise like the Pistons at the time, and you know, the late great Mr. Davidson was still with us, and Tom Wilson was the president, and everything that was just evolved. Jack McCluskey, the late great Jack McCluskey, was the general manager, and of course we know all the players, and of course the great late great Chuck Daly. I mean, it truly was, and I try to tell everybody who wants to be good. See, and I played on Atlanta teams that. Actually, we'd won a Central Division title in there. We'd won 50 games in a row for 2 or 3 years in a row. And then I got picked up by Miami for an expansion team. So I, you know, went from a 50-win team to a 15-win team to a team that competes for championships. And from day one, and I don't embellish this, and I'm a good embellisher. I don't embellish this. From day one, that's all they talked about. They didn't talk about winning X number of games. They didn't talk about winning the Central Division. They talked about winning enough games to give them home court advantage to get to the finals to win it. And it was from day one. And I mean, seriously, day one. And I remember we had our first practice, which I hated, because we had to do a timed mile or run a mile after the first practice. So you're dead anyway, and you run a mile. And two-a-days that night, second practice next day. The next day we have two-a-days. And after practice, David Greenwood and myself are on the team, and we're two of the new guys. Bill Laimbeer takes us out to dinner. And I felt like he was Sean Connery in The Untouchables. And it was a come to Jesus, here's how we do stuff with the Pistons kind of dinner. And I'll never forget it. Bill sitting by himself facing David and I, and it's like, you know, we're in the principal's office, you know, but we're eating dinner and he's telling us, here's how we do things. And you know, the one line in The Untouchables, he says, you know, if they put one of ours in the hospital, we put one of theirs in the morgue. If they pull out a knife, we pull out a gun. I swear to you, Matt, it was that speech. Like he says, we are a guard running team. No one touches our guards. If one of their guards, if someone touches our guards, one of their guards go out of the game. I mean, it was, and obviously it's, you know, a different time and a different era and a lot more physical than it obviously is now. And, oh, by the way, just a little tease. Wait till you see next year, in the beginning of next year, they're taking even more physicality out of the game by new rules they're going to set up. So be ready for that. And you heard it here first. But it was unbelievable from the very top of the program to the young kids that were the ball boys. I mean, they dressed smart. They were all in a uniform. They were busting their hump, getting rebounds for guys and kicking it out. It's just a different mindset, and it's something until you're involved with it, you really don't understand. I was talking to somebody recently on our radio show, one of the interviews we were doing. And finally I got to talk to somebody who said that. He said, when you're on a championship team, he said, that's all you talk about. You don't talk about anything else. And that was the Pistons in those days. They didn't talk about anything else except winning an NBA championship. And it was the most inspiring time of my career and my life. It was the most amazing to sit around and talk with guys. And not only these guys are probably, you know, some of them are in the Hall of Fame. They're on that team. And there's probably a couple more. I think Bill Laimbeer should be in the Hall of Fame, to be honest with you. But they were so smart. I mean, that team from top to bottom had a basketball IQ level that you can't measure it. And then you go up to the two assistant coaches, Brendan Malone, and whose son is the head coach here in Denver, obviously. And Brendan Sewer is now running a group that coaches. And then, of course, the great Chuck Daly. I'm telling you, Matt, I will never experience it again. You search, and you know this doing your Locked On Pistons and everything that you've done, you're always searching for that group because everybody wants to be part of something bigger than they are. And that's what it was like in those Detroit days, that you really felt a part of something. And it carries over. You know, that was, you know, 89-90 when we won it. And I could run on the street and I've interviewed John Sally and he says, you're the only radio guy I do shows with, and he'll come on my show. Or when I see Laimbeer, when our paths cross, or, you know, Isaiah Thomas, I saw him in London when the Pistons played there a couple of years ago. And it's it's transforming in those friendships and bonds. Whether you talk to a guy once every 10 years or every year or every month, the bonds you make on those is just, it's something special and something I will hold on for the rest of my life, because I'm blessed and feel fortunate that I got to feel that and live that and sense that for a short time in my career.
Well, there are memories that still live on here in the Detroit area. You'll be happy to know that, fans like myself. Look back at all the YouTubes and all the videos and everything like that. But you mentioned Lambeer as the mafioso there in the restaurant. Love that story and that visual. But guys like yourself, who was known for being, you know, a funny guy off the court as well. Dennis Rodman's not exactly the most straight-laced guy in the world. And like you mentioned, John Sally, one of the better characters of any era of the NBA. Do you have good stories of pranks pulled by these guys, or maybe some offbeat stuff that the three of you or some of the other guys cooked up that you could share with us here in the podcast?
Yeah, there's some you know, a good friend of mine, the late, or the, he used to be the trainer of the Atlanta Hawks. He said, there's going to have to be a whole lot of people die before I can write my memoirs. And so I think some of that is true. It's funny, and this is true, you know, and I came in, and obviously a favored son, still a favored son in Detroit. I kind of was one of the group that came in and replaced Rick Mahorn, who had meant so much to that team for so long. And so it was, you know, it was respected as much as I love Rick now. We have great conversations now, but, you know, whether I was with Atlanta or what, you know, you always, you know, somebody was getting bumped around pretty good in those games. But you came in automatically and just, you know, knew what it was. It didn't take long to fill your role. We were always joking. I want to tell you two quick stories, and I know I get long-winded, but I really get excited to talk about those days.
We got time for you, Scott. No problem.
Okay. Do you remember the one writer, and I just lost his last name, Drew?
Drew Sharp, the columnist?
Yeah, he's a columnist now, but he was a beat writer.
Yeah, Drew Sharp, he actually passed away a couple of years back. He was a columnist for the Detroit Free Press, and I believe he was a beat writer at the time for the Pistons at the Free Press, too.
And Drew and I kind of got a relationship to go, and probably because he knew, you know, I would tell him, you know, we would talk and all that, but we had fun, and we were friends. We'd kind of bust each other a little bit. So he wrote an article and kind of busted me in the article, but it was in a good natured way, and I kind of laughed at it because I knew, you know, I knew where it came from. It wasn't mean, but you know, if you didn't know that we'd had a relationship, you could kind of maybe take it the wrong way. And you got to remember, on that team, they ran eight deep, and the four of us were there for emergencies. You know, if any injuries or foul trouble, the bottom four guys on that bench were there in case of emergency. To be honest with you, and I remember getting on a bus, and Mark Aguirre had read the article and had the newspaper, and he stood up on the bus. He goes, "Guys, I don't know if you saw this," and then pointed out the article. He says, "We got to support Scott, and we're not talking to this guy. Don't answer any of this guy's questions. If he's on a bus." And it struck me. I'm like, dang, here's, you know, a guy that first of all, and I don't think Mark gets enough credit for what he did and what he meant to that team either, to be honest with you, but was willing to kind of stand up and fight for the guy that, you know, was playing every third or fourth night because we're blowing somebody out. And that's how close that team was. I mean, think about that. It here's a guy that, you know, started for all those years, gave his starting positions, that, you know, went to Chug, said, "I think Dennis needs to start." And then came off the bench and was great at it and was fabulous. And here he is standing up for me, you know, a new guy on the team. And I will always remember that. And I'll always, you know, same thing with Mark. When I see Mark about every 4 years, it seems like 5 years, man, I love on him, I hug him. It's just that friendship. But here he was, and that's the kind of team it was. We would beat the hell out of each other, literally, in practice. I think we were the first team that ever started kicking reporters out, and then they would put newspapers over the windows so they couldn't even look in. And I would say we had a fight every other practice because they were that competitive. We didn't give an edge to each other, even in practice. David Greenwood and I would have a lunch bet on whoever could hurt Bill Laimbeer in practice the best, whether it was a foul or whatever. If we could make him, you know, sting, if we could sting Laimbeer, the other guy owed lunch that day. So, I mean, that's how competitive it really was, but it made us better. Games are easy because we were every bit as physical in practice. So that's one story, just how close it was. But probably the funniest thing I did, I thought it was funny, and I kind of got in there, and they just won a championship, and you know, I always mess with them and said, hey, you got to win me a ring this year. Come on now, we got to win Scott a ring. And we kind of went through a low time, and we're going through a streak where we'd lost 3-4 games and weren't playing great. And, you know, it's tough to stay at that top level, you know, for as long as they did. And that's what finally caught them in 1991, caught us in 1991. But we're in Seattle, and we're in one of those low spots, and we didn't have practice, and we're going to have like a no practice even in the morning. I think it was a weekend day. We're just going to meet in the meeting room in the hotel somewhere, and then go over. And I had run out. There was a T-shirt shop right across the street, and I had 12 black double extra large T-shirts made up. On each shirt, it says "Win Scott a Ring." And so we went to that meeting. In fact, I probably had more than 12. I think I gave the coaches some. And I said, guys, I know we're in a tough spot right now, but I want, you know, we got to remember what we're playing for this year. And so I passed out Win Scott a Ring T-shirts to everybody in practice. But that was kind of my role, I think. I was a member of that team, but I was still on the outside looking in because I wasn't playing, you know, every single second of the games. And yet I think there was a mutual respect between everybody on the squad. And I had as much voice as anybody probably in my position. But I also knew there that I was, you know, to keep guys loose and to talk to guys. And so it was pretty funny. They all got a great kick out of it and laughed. And I remember walking out of a meeting, everybody had a smile on their face. And I'd like to think gloriously that turned the season back around or something like that.
Absolutely.
Probably my little self-absorbed head, you know, that's my one big contribution to that back-to-back championship. But listen, and man, I'm not just saying because of your audience or anything like that. It's the most glorious time of my career. And when I talk and when I broadcast, I mean, there's still so many things that I learned from Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars and Bill Laimbeer and even Rodman and Chuck Daly and Brendan Suhr and Brendan Malone, all that whole group that I still will fall back on during my broadcasting, whether it's a tough night or a tough shooting night or a tough, you know, one of those 3 games and 4 nights type of situations, and how mentally strong you have to be and play in those times, and how not to give games away because you can't get them back. And a lot of that was formed really in what I think turned out to be, I think, my 8th and 9th year in the NBA.
And Scott, where's the T-shirt now? Win Scott a Ring? Do you have it still with you there in Denver?
I've moved 4 or 5 times, and I think my ex-wife may have got the box with the T-shirt.
Well, as long as you still got the ring itself, I guess that's more important than
I'll take the loss of the T-shirt.
And that was part one of our interview with Scott Hastings. You got to check out part two. We go through the Portland series, the NBA Finals. He goes through every single one of those games, talks about why the Bad Boys were so special. He's got some thoughts on this year's Pistons team. We talked a little bit of Denver Nuggets as well and the legacy of the Bad Boys going forward. But like I said, go ahead and visit Detroit Sports Collectibles, the store in Clawson, the hats, the Made in Detroit shirts, the golf simulator, the football figurines, the music posters, the Laimbeer and Mahorn poster from the Bad Boys days that we're talking about here this week, all the beer hats, just great stuff that you didn't know you needed, but you definitely do. DetroitCollectibles.net, 661 South Main Street in Clawson, just south of 14 Mile. Check out Jim and Ann on the weekends, or you can call them and get them on the phone and set up an appointment to meet on weekday evenings as well. 844-238-6277. Support the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm asking you guys to kind of help out as we get some of these sponsors on board to make it worth their while. Maybe they'll re-up as time goes on as well. 844-238-6277. Detroit Sports Collectibles in Clawson. Tell Jim and Ann that we said hi here from the Locked On Pistons podcast. Get 10% off your order there as well. But that's going to do it for us. We got part two with Scott Hastings coming up on Wednesday's podcast. We're going to be talking Central Division teams next week, Locked On Wolverines. We're going to talk about that a little bit this week as well. Some good content coming up. I'm excited about it. Tell your friends about the show. The numbers were pretty good in the summer, but we got the season coming up soon, so we're going to look to boost up those numbers as they will naturally, but help us out organically too, and tell your friends about it, and tell them all about how you enjoy listening to interviews like Scott Hastings and the other things that we talk about every day here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks again, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.